Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Kansas City-based singer, pianist, and bandleader Dan Sturtevant. He has been doing Sundays at the Phoenix in downtown KC for the last 5 years and performing on the Kansas City scene since 1969. He talks about his decades here in this great jazz town, what has changed, surviving COVID, the future, and so much more. Enjoy this interview.
We're taking a minute out today.
Sure.
I could swear I've seen you a handful of times around town and probably didn't have the chance to go up after the show, so it's great to finally catch up with you and talk to you about some jazz.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
First and foremost, before we get into your regular schedule, I know you know you're down at the Phoenix and you're pretty busy. How did you survive COVID? Now that we're kind of coming out of it and live shows are getting, you know, they're stacking up. How was that time period for you?
I cut back some, especially because I have an underlying condition. And so what I did was wear a face mask and a face plastic face guard over that. Singing was not easy, but it's not hard. Not at all impossible. And you get a little bit of a different tone. But instead of working 8 or so gigs a month, I was probably down to 2 or 3 most of that time.
From that standpoint, you know, it seems like you've been pretty steady, even though most of the performers out there were on shutdown. How do you see the rebuilding of Kansas City specifically and the resurgence of clubs and musicians right now?
We were talking about that, Millie Edwards and Rick Hewitt and I, the other day, and it's hard to know, but I think maybe Tim Brewer was talking about that too. They're all Kansas City musicians, and maybe we were saying that audiences were hungry for live music. It seemed like to us that our tips are substantially up from what they had been previously.
Yeah, well, I can tell when I go to a show that there seems to be more, I'm noticing more people and I'm noticing a level of attention and the chatter and the background noise is lower.
I think that's right.
Talk to me a little bit about your itinerary. Where are you playing on a regular basis? What's going on with you these days?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'd like to talk about improvisation, if I might. Regular places would be the Phoenix. There's a jazz brunch that we do from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Sunday, and we've done that for a little over 5 years now. That's been a nice gig. It's terrific for Millie and me and Rick and sometimes Chase McCroy and others, too. In fact, we have Charlie Parker event there this coming Sunday, August 21st, with Dave Taylor playing the place, I guess, of Charlie Parker. So those are good, and the B&B theaters in town have been great to open. There's a place in Liberty, there's a place, several places around town. Downtown Kansas City at the former Alamo Draft House, that's a nice room. Topeka, Longview, all over. Then, in addition to that, there are lots of, if you want them, and they can be rewarding, senior citizens independent living gigs. And there are a lot of musicians who are doing that.
That makes sense. I've never heard that, but I would figure, and that would be a pretty attentive crowd, I would think.
Yeah, that's got pretty much nothing to do with jazz. You know, they want the old-time stuff. And that's fine. That's fine. I know how to play that stuff. May I get into improvisation for you now, because I kind of feel like that's where I want to go with respect to jazz.
Yeah, please do.
I'm not a jazz player. I'm more a swing, pop, jazz, ballad, Latin player, I guess. So I'm all over the place, and I like it all. But improvisation is, I think people like it. Certainly the musicians like it. About improvisation, the elements that I would describe are melody, harmony, rhythm, maybe silence, maybe the audience. When I first started playing back in the 70s, there was a great bass player. Roy Gettler was his name. He had just been let go by Kansas City Philharmonic director Hans Schwieger, maybe that's the right name. And Roy, my bass player friend and the director of the Philharmonic, they'd had an argument of some sort. So Roy taught me a lot of things. And one thing he said about improvisation is play the song through one time straight as written. So you're playing the 32 bars straight as written. That way you don't forget what the song is. You don't forget, you know how to play it. Then the second and the third and the fourth time through, okay, improvise all you want. So in terms of my my concept of improvisation as a singer-piano player, I'll talk a little bit, if I may, about melody first. So using the song Misty, I've got a microphone right here. I'm sitting at the piano. So
okay.
The song Misty... Look at me, I'm as helpless as a kitten on a tree. So that's straight. That's pretty much what I sing if I'm accompanying myself as a piano player. But as an instrumentalist on the piano, the improvisation comes in. So it might do something like this. So that's kind of what I would do, Joe, as to the melody. Harmony, kind of for me as a piano player, it's a left hand. I'm shifting chords from the basic chords. John Elliott was a great piano teacher music theorist in Kansas City in the 70s and the 80s. Great player himself. And so he taught about chord substitution. And so the improvisation is as to the harmony also, rhythm. I guess I would play as rhythm. Improvisation is... trying to maybe do something like a drummer? I don't know. And these elements are all mixed together. And then silence is very important, but most of us players, I think, we try to play so many notes that sometimes we forget how effective silence can be, just for a couple bars, a couple measures, a couple beats. So that's my thoughts on improvisation.
I appreciate you demonstrating. I've done a lot of these interviews, and I've never had anybody specifically lay it out, so I appreciate you sidestepping and putting that out there. And I am glad that you clarified kind of what you do and your role, but I do, at the end of the day, one of the big reasons why I wanted to reach out is that I see your name so much. I've seen you around. There's a level of you that's prolific on the scene, and I think that's exactly what I want to dig into. And the beginning of that would be the alpha. And where were you born and raised, and how did music become a part of your life and your pursuit up to now?
I always liked music from grade school. I was born in Kansas City, Missouri. I lived here most of my life, except for a year and a half or 2 years. I always liked music. I knew it right away. And as sitting at the piano when I was maybe five, my brother, who is 10, Steve, his fingers just didn't move as easily as mine. And I heard things on the piano. I don't know, difference in people. So then I went to, I played piano, and I took it to the conservatory for years, had a private instructor. Let's see, by the time, I think it was real important to learn the chord method of piano playing for me. Because if you have to read Chopin, if you have to read all the notes, instead of, now your left hand is just playing chords. And when I learned to do that from a good piano teacher, actually we were living in Florida at the time, the family, Mr. Goodman, he was great. So he taught me the chord method. So the thought process is you're thinking of what you're doing in your right hand as a piano player, but your left hand is locked into some chord structure that may vary. But if the simplest would be if you're in the key of E flat, you're playing in the left hand E flat, G, and B flat. And you don't have to worry about what your left hand is doing as you would under Beethoven, for example. So that was very formative for me. I still enjoy the classical music, but it's, you know, you have to read every note.
What was the first live show that you ever saw that kind of made you think, I'd love to do that someday?
As I got to be maybe 17 or so, Sergio Mendez. They were playing a concert at, what is that, Kansas City, Kansas, Memorial Hall. Very attractive. But I knew in high school, you know, they had high school, Westport High School in Kansas City. And, you know, I enjoyed playing at the talent show and that sort of thing. But really in terms of the best quality where you really get motivated, probably the Sergio Mendez group.
What was the first year that you started playing in Kansas City?
69.
So what I find interesting with a cat like you is that you have such a historical perspective on a cradle of jazz in Kansas City. You know, you've seen decades and periods and things go in and out and rebirths and births. And I'm curious, what have been some of the momentous changes that you've seen on the Kansas City scene over all these years that you've played here?
Carolyn Brewer has written a book on Pat, early years of Pat Metheny. A great book.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So, you know, that focal point in the early 70s would have been maybe the Ramada Inn in Independence off Nolan Road, maybe. And, you know, that book goes through. I really enjoyed that book because a lot of those players I knew, I played with some of them. It's a refreshing time to, Herman Bell was maybe he was a wonderful sax player, and, I just loved playing with that guy. So we're going back to 1970 and 75.
Right now on the scene, being a part of the Kansas City jazz scene, and maybe even your entire career here, what's been the best part about the Kansas City jazz community?
Well, the friends that you enjoy playing music with. And then there's the audience. Sure love to play for the people. I do play and enjoy playing, and I play maybe an hour or more most days here at home for myself. But playing for an audience is a thrill. And most of the audiences are very good to us now. I'm a little surprised. Millie Edwards is a great singer, and she and Rick Hewitt and I do a lot of gigs, and we kind of play kind of loud. It's wonderful. I'm used to, in prior times, the club owner coming up to me and saying, "You guys are too loud." And so, you know, that's we're very fortunate now. I'd like to say that's the quality of the music, but I guess somebody else will decide that. But we are able to reach the music, but part of it is playing songs for members of the audience because we have a nice following. Jerry, for example, will know we'll play the tune Misty for her every time she comes in with her husband, Tom. So, good.
Wonderful. You know, the one thing, too, I think about, you know, Kansas City, obviously, you know, as we celebrate Bird every August, has such a large imprint on the world of jazz. And I am curious, do you ever think about that, your role in this Kansas City jazz legacy and how that works? And how do you feel about carrying that torch, that Kansas City jazz torch?
I guess I'm not a long-range thinker. I just try to do each gig the best I can.
what do you look forward to the most about what you get to do with your life as a jazz musician? What do you look forward to the most when you wake up every day?
Learning to do some of the songs that we currently do a little better. Usually it has to do with phrases that I may practice here at home to make them better. I hope somebody recognizes that, but probably, maybe not in terms of the audience. They just like it or they don't. And then we learn a fair number of new tunes. We're working on a couple new tunes that we haven't played before. It's basically a trio I play with, and so we learn a couple new tunes every month. And so trying to get those tunes that are already in the repertoire better, and then learning a couple new tunes every month, that's fun.
What do you like the best about Kansas City? What is it that say, wow, that's the thing that's hallmark about this town?
Oh, I guess my friends and the history here. It's terrific. You know, you've lived, fortunate to live a long time, and you develop a lot of friendships over time. And the music is just part of your life. It's not your whole life. But it's certainly an integral part of my life, and I'm very grateful for it.
You know, there's been a lot of times that I've been down on 18 and Vine on breaks in the Blue Room, and I've just looked around and thought about the history of Kansas City and how wonderful it would be to be plopped down in the middle of that era that Robert Altman made when he was doing Kansas City. And I'm curious, if you could go back in time, and it doesn't have to just be Kansas City, but in the annals of jazz, who would you love to see live?
Charlie Parker. Playing some of those phrases that he played, just incredible runs. You know, on and on.
Very simply put, why do you love jazz?
It gives me an outlet to improvise.
I want to know, everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, listeners, those that you play to, but ultimately, you have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
Wow. I don't know. I try to be a good person. I try to be fair to others. It's important to fit the various aspects of your life together so they work together. You got to eat good food. You need good friends. You need a good spouse. I have one, Mary Lee.
Those sound like wonderful ingredients. My final question to you is this. What's been the best fan response or fan letter, end quote, so to speak, that you've ever gotten?
Wow. I guess it was from a senior citizen recently where she wrote that she remembered me from playing at the Arrowhead football stadium, Arrowhead Inn, Gate A, in the 70s. You know, you're trying so hard to do better all the time, but it sure is nice to know that you made an impression early on too, and maybe you're just developing from that. She said she remembered the tune San Francisco, and she wanted that, and we played that for she and her husband, and now this particular lady is 90, she's 90 plus, but she wrote to me recently.
That's wonderful. That's a great story. Dan, thank you for opening up. Thank you for being such a great part of this Kansas City scene. I appreciate you parlaying your stories and reminiscing a little bit. I appreciate it. And obviously playing improvisation parts to make it as understood as possible.
You bet. Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to yet another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Kansas City and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Dan for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz at youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the neonjazz.blogspot.com. And if you feel like it, go to joedomino.com and kick in via Patreon or PayPal. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.